All right, you ready for the word? I've always encouraged you, pay attention to the little things. You know, I told you the vision I had about the lid being taken off the pot. When I walked up to the platform, the cap was off the anointing oil. And I put it on. It's almost like God says, why are you putting it on? Because I'm releasing it. I'm releasing something today. So, you know, God will get your attention in the small things, but you have to pay attention. So let's go to Psalms 37. We're living in a time where we have to be flexible. You know, I know probably most of us, when we have something planned, hell is not going to stop us. But we should allow God to stop us. Amen? You know, if we have a plan on a certain day and then God says, I have something else for you to do, we have to be willing to shift gears. And so that's what's been happening pretty regularly now in my sermon preparation. I was all set going in another direction until I got up yesterday morning. And God said, this is the word for today. So I had to regroup. But because I did, and because I spent 3.5 hours here with many of you, God was gracious, and I finished in 2.5 hours, which is a miracle. Once I did sit down in obedience, it just flowed. And I give him all the praise and glory. So Psalms 37, see if this speaks to you. I think it's a word for the season and a word for the church and a word for today. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly, like the grass, and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Blessed be the Lord for his word today and every day. So, most of us, not all of us, but whether you were born in New England or you reside in New England, you know that the weather can change in a moment, and it's going to change later pretty dramatically, I understand. And we probably will have to take that tent down, because there's damaging winds predicted. And so it's just like, what, remember the movie with Forrest Gump? Said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And I know some of you try to poke a hole in the bottom of the chocolate just to see what kind it is. because I like to know what I'm going to get. And I know you do too, but that's not always possible. And so the spiritual climate is in flux right now. And it can change quickly as well through prayer, through speaking God's word, and for the unveiling of God's will and God's plan in for this earth that we live in. Things are not always as they appear. Now, if you look or allow yourself to be swayed by the media, you'd say, oh my goodness, God is on vacation, or something similar to that. But I assure you, he's alive and well, and he has a plan, and he's working behind the scenes. But this is where faith has to intervene, and we need to walk by faith and not by sight. You cannot go by what you're seeing, because that's not reality. Reality is the battle that's going on in the spirit realm and the rearranging that God is behind and empowering and bringing things into the submission of his will, if I could say it that way. I'm going to try to move quickly this morning. I have a lot. But it's important. I got a number of songs, not just one song, when I was preparing yesterday afternoon. And, you know, I was a mere young boy of 13 in 1963 when Bob Dylan wrote a song called The Times, They Are A-Changing. And I don't even think I listened to it then, but it was very popular during the Vietnam era when I was ready to graduate high school and my early college years. And, of course, he was referencing the political climate, the Vietnam War, the changing culture. But that song, that folk song, and the lyrics could speak to our present time as well. And I believe that it does speak to our present time. The times, they are changing. I'm not going to read all the lyrics, but for the loser now will be later to win, for the times, they are changing. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. For the times, they are changing. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are changing. In the last verse, the line is drawn, the curse is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times, they are changing. I'm not necessarily a Bob Dylan fan, but God can use anyone to speak prophetically to a generation, and I believe he has. And does. So, you and I need to be the change that we want to see. I guess I would say it that way. It's time for the body of Christ to arise and not just stand by idly, but to be willing to stand up and speak up when we see these injustices, when we see our freedoms being eroded and taken from us. Can't just say, oh, you know, sooner or later God's going to do something. No, God is going to do something through his people, They're the ones he's set free. Those are the ones who need to speak out about freedom, especially those whom he has set free. And it wasn't coincidental that we sang about liberty this morning. We sang about freedom because freedom is a precious thing. And we cannot take it any longer for granted, because people are mandated in their workplace now, even in this congregation, they're going to lose their job if they don't get the vax. That's a violation of their freedom, rights of freedom. And it's actually a violation of law. But this is what is being promoted in this hour, and many, many other things as well. Forced mask mandates and you name it. It's like, my spirit is so grieved by these things. You and I need to be asking God, what would you have me do? What would you have me say about injustice and about the loss of freedom? So I've entitled this morning's message, His Plan for Your Future, or His Plan for Your Inheritance. Point number one, how to move quickly. See through the eyes of faith, or live with a faith-filled vision. It says there, actually says it three times in this short passage and later on in Psalms 37, do not fret. Do not be influenced, is really what it's saying. Don't allow what people say or what people are doing to influence what you believe. Stick to your guns, as they say. Stand firm in the faith. Rather, be an influence on what you see. That word fret means to devour. It comes from the word meaning to devour, to eat away at. And that's what will happen to you. If you yield to that, it ultimately bursts fear and erodes your faith. It means to wear, to corrode, to become vexed, worried, agitated, irritated. Not pleasant feelings. But we have a choice whether we let things influence us or we become an influence through the power that has been given and the authority that has been given to us in and through Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It says it again, do not fret in verse 7 and in verse 8. Do not fret, because it only leads to evil doing. It only leads to you thinking and then manifesting what your thought life is thinking. And you can't take it back once you speak something or do something. You can apologize, but you can't take it back. And that's what the scripture is saying here. Don't let your emotions get the best of you. Let the Spirit be your guide and determine your response, not your reaction. Galatians 5:13, for you are called to freedom. Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So we need to stay focused and stand and stay in faith, not yielding our position of faith. And your vision will be pure, clear, and faith-filled. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. The vision is yet for an appointed time. And God needs to fill you with fresh vision every day, because you need to be filled with Him, with His presence, with the faith that can only come from Him. Otherwise, it'll be like, have you ever seen these guys in the gym that keep adding more weight and weight and weight? Well, that's what'll happen. Pretty soon you'll be feeling so weighed down, you'll be depressed or in despair. And you'll say, why am I feeling like this? Because you opened the gate. You opened the ear gate and the eye gate and allowed these things to come into your life. Secondly, are you with me this morning? Demonstrate your trust in the Lord, or faith in action, from verse 3 and 5. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, and I would say where He plants you. You know, you've been given a territory and the authority to possess that territory, whether it's your workplace, wherever, you name it. You've been given that land as an inheritance, but you need to claim it. Cultivate faithfulness. In the margin it says, feed on His faithfulness. So you have an internal GPS, a God positioning securely system, if you will. But you have to listen to it. You have to obey the mind of the Lord, the mind of the Spirit, if you will. Isaiah 30:21. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the left or to the right. And that's what I was referring to a bit earlier when I said, if God asks you to change your plans, are you going to be willing? Are you going to say, well, you know, I deserve a day at the beach? Well, actually, you don't. You don't. Not if God's telling you to do something else. And so we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. This is what we call God's rescue plan. He didn't just rescue you once. He rescues you over and over and over again, because we keep getting ourselves in trouble. We keep going our own way, or straying like sheep, as the scripture says. But God, in His faithfulness, sometimes He needs a hook, sometimes He needs that end of that staff to bring us back into the picture that He sees. Verse 5 in our text, trust also in Him and He will do it. In other words, once our heart is yielded to Him, once we are willing to obey what He's asking us to speak or to do, He opens up the grace, the power, the provision to accomplish that which is His desire. And it makes His desire our desire. Second song I got was from when I was an itty-bitty baby Christian, way back in the 70s, way back. And I still love the song. It's called Through It All by Andre Crouch. Very powerful words. And the chorus goes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And the last verse, which is very powerful, says, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in him could do. Amen? That's the purpose. Problems and storms refine us. They build character. They change us into the image of the one we love, Jesus Christ. Psalms 22, 4 and 5. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you rescued them. To you they cried out and they fled to safety. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. The only time you're going to be disappointed is when you want your way and it doesn't line up with his way. That's when you start kicking and screaming, as they say. Whether you actually physically do it or not, you're thinking it. You're thinking that way. Why can't I do what I want to do? Well, maybe he has a better way. So we need to, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge, in all ways acknowledge him, and he will straighten us out, make our path straight, direct our path, depending on what translation you read. He has a plan for your future and my future and for my inheritance. In fact, he is your inheritance. Number three, put your future in his hands. From verse 5 and 6 in our text in Psalm 37. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Now, there's only a very few times where that Hebrew word is actually translated commit. Usually it's translated roll or roll away. And I was thinking, I forget his name, you remember on that those famous words on the air flight from 9/11 when that guy got up and he said, let's roll. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, let's go with God. Let's move with God. That's what it's saying when it says commit your way to the Lord. It's saying don't waver. Trust him. Keep moving. Don't lose steam. Don't get distracted, in other words. Keep moving forward in faith. That's the gist of what that is really saying. The other time it's saying, using that word commit, is in Psalms 22:8. Commit yourself to the Lord. And let him deliver him. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. So, commit what you do, but most importantly, commit you. Commit yourself to the Lord. To roll with the Lord, if you will. To move forward. Because we know that he causes all things, Romans 8:28, to work together for our good because we love him and we are called with a purpose and a plan. We were birthed with that DNA in us. And the other time it uses the translated commit is in Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. Meditate on that one. Commit your works, and then your plans, your future, will fall into place, and you will see it by faith as well. The third song I got I'm not sure if Bill Gaither wrote this or not. It's a hymn. He lives. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. But I think that's the same song. But because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. So you and I need to not only believe that he has a plan. Do you believe God has a plan for your life? He absolutely does. We not only have to believe that he has a plan for your future, but that he will supply everything you need. He will prosper you and assure that you will succeed. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, to give you a future and a hope. Number four, moving quickly here, but you can study some of these scriptures on your own later on. Draw upon his patience and his provision of rest, from verses 7 and 9 in Psalms 37, where it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, in verse 7. And Psalm 62:5 reads this way, my soul, in other words, the psalmist is speaking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? Sometimes it's appropriate. My soul, he's saying, wait in silence for God only. For my hope is from him. And you could continue into verses 6 to 8 there on your own. Isaiah 40, verse 31, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. And I would say, will gain a deeper measure or a deeper understanding of God's grace. Mount up with wings like eagles, not get tired. Boy, I like that one. One day I'd like to not get tired. Still have energy at the end of the day. How about you? Not get tired or weary. Not become weary. So what that is really saying, when it says rest, it's saying be still. That's the ultimate position of rest. That's what it's talking about in Psalms 46:10, where it says, cease striving and know that I am God. But the King James, I think, captures it better here, where it says, be still. Don't say a thing, don't do a thing, just wait in his presence for him to speak. Why is that so hard? It is. I admit it. It's hard to stay put. We want to babble on and on and on. God says, are you done yet? He wants to speak, but we don't give him an opportunity lots of the time. Be still. Cease striving and know that I am God. In the margin in my Bible, it says, let go and relax. In other words, God's saying, I got this one. Don't worry. Be happy. I'm on your side. Watch what I can do for you and in you. So we need to let God be God and follow his lead. Hebrews, obviously, the whole chapter on rest, on the believer's rest. Hebrews 4:3, for we who have believed enter that rest. Hebrews 4:11, let us be diligent to enter that rest. So hard to not be doing something When I go on vacation, do you know what I do? Nothing. I tell Kathy, you're free to go. I'm doing nothing. Don't ask me to do anything. I am resting. I am definitely not a tourist. And finally, point number five, and I'm right on target. Focus on possessing his promised inheritance. Now he has an ironclad agreement called covenant. He won't violate covenant with you and I. Do you understand that? What he says he will do, he will do. What he says he will provide, he will provide. When he says he will give you power, he will give you power. And so forth. Focus on possessing his promised inheritance. From verse 11, which says, the humble will inherit the land. The humble do things God's way. They don't argue with God. They don't say, well, what about doing it this way? They just say, yes, Lord. When he says, this is the way, walk ye in it, we say, yes, Lord. Father knows best. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. And you could go on there in Psalms 37, verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the blameless and their inheritance. Verse 22. For those blessed by him will inherit the land. Verse 29, the righteous will inherit the land. Verse 34, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. Sounds like a promise to me. And since we're so dull to hear sometimes, he says it four or five times here in these few short verses. So you need to keep your eyes on the prize. What's the prize? Jesus, the King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He has a plan, he has the provision, and he has the power. And he's made all of that available to you and I, those he loves, those whom he has called according to his purpose. He will make it happen. Close with Philippians 1:6. I am confident. Are you confident today? I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it, will perfect it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Bless your coming in and your going out today. I hope you take a few moments to greet one another or come downstairs and have a snack before you hit the road. Can't wait till we convene once again next week. God bless you.